They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
What happened to that blast of stimulus that was supposed to transform the Japanese economy? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Prices are not budging in Japan at a time that policymakers really wanted to see prices rise some. There's news today that inflation in Japan is zero. Sinking oil is one reason, but consumers there are still tentative about buying things. That's despite extensive efforts by the Japanese government to juice things up, a set of policies called Abenomics. Jesper Kohl is head of Japan research at JP Morgan. He told our partners at the BBC that this data might have a silver lining if Japan is headed for something that can be described as good deflation.
The consumer price index is obviously a basket of goods and services, and right now it's being distorted by the fact that imported commodity prices are actually coming down. The real malaise, the real problem in Japan over the last decade was the fact that wages actually were contracting, that wages were actually falling in nominal terms. And this is what is changing. Last year, wages rose at around 1%. This year, we've just had the union negotiations. Looks like wage growth is going to double to about 2%. So more nominal yen into the pockets. That's what creates a feel-good factor. And that's what's going to generate a domestic demand recovery.
And that is Jesper Kohl at JP Morgan. Japan's Nikkei stock index closed down 1% overnight. This week, we've been covering the news that the processed food company Heinz is merging with its counterpart Kraft. The logic of the massive merger means Kraft will be put on a diet. The parent company behind the deal, 3G Capital Partners, believes in something called zero-based budgeting. This will likely force Kraft managers to justify spending plans from scratch every single year. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer looks at how this works and if it works.
Under zero-based budgeting, you don't just carry over the last year's budget.
So every department within a large organization would have to justify their existence.
Shane DeColey teaches management accounting at Duke University. He says when 3G Capital Partners took over Heinz, it saved money by getting rid of corporate jets and even limited use of company printers. But DeColey says there are drawbacks. Zero-based budgeting is time-consuming and can hurt morale.
Because I think people would be worried about whether or not they would keep their jobs.
Which is why many companies just do zero-based budgeting every few years. But it is catching on, and not just in corporate suites. Dave Roeder is director of the Iowa Governor's Budget Office. He uses snippets of zero-based budgeting to examine government programs, asking,
when was it created and why was it created? Do we really need to do this anymore?
And Iowa lawmakers are considering legislation to bring the state even closer to a zero-based budgeting system. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Where I come from, meals are something to be savored, even celebrated. But there is an alternative for people who have too much to do, don't want to think much about food, or are tired of microwaving plastic from the freezer. There is something called Soylent. It's a powder that turns into a bland beige shake. Some people drink 4 glasses of it a day and thereby never have to quit coding software on their screen for what you might call a meal. Soylent is produced by a startup company that's been attracting some serious venture capital from big Silicon Valley names. Soylent, version 1.4, started shipping in recent weeks. The company's co-founder and CEO came in for a tasting. Rob Reinhart, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I'm trying to understand the scene. So you're working on this project involving wireless. You guys are probably knocking yourselves out, really focused. But you're noticing what a pain in the neck going out to find food? Or like, what is the link between one project and this new direction?
Well, easy. I was living on ramen and working all the time, and I was working on something I was very passionate about, and food seemed like more of an impractical distraction. And it seemed like it was labor that I was repeating every day, which is, you know, against the ethos of engineering. You want to offload it. You want to optimize it. So I thought there has to be a way that we can make this process a little leaner, a little more efficient. No more trying to balance every single meal. It just seems like this huge chunk of complexity that was taking up my brain and hurting my body was just gone. And then if you want to go out and enjoy a social meal, that's always there.
Do you worry that you're aiding and abetting workaholics, man? I mean, you know, they're sitting there at their screens hour after hour, and they're just grabbing this from the fridge every once in a while. There's more to life than sitting at the screen.
I don't think it has necessarily anything to do with the screen. In fact, I think this will allow you to get off the grid pretty easily. Think about if you're going on a long camping trip. What's the biggest issue you have to deal with? Your food's going to spoil. In fact, I think we can take this to space. You know, there's a lot of to be said about cooking as a hobby, and a lot of people like it for that. So I agree with you. I think that, you know, we should find ways to detach. And for most people, cooking is more manufacturing than hobby. So if we automate a lot of that labor, we're going to find ourselves with a lot more leisure time in the future.
Despite advances in technology and in agriculture, there's concern as we move forward in the coming decades, the Earth's ability to feed its growing population.
Certainly.
You see this as could be part of the discussion?
Absolutely. This is part of the solution. The idea that you can create and synthesize these foodstuffs using microorganisms. You can use algae and yeast. And we're talking about orders of magnitude efficiency gains. Obviously, you can chart it out and see if the population continues to grow at this rate. At some point, we're going to run out of land. No one's going to want to do all that work. Something's going to come to a head, which is why I think it's important that we get in front of this and we start to think about what is the food really? What is the most efficient way to produce it? And I don't think it's traditional agriculture.
Rob Reinhardt is co-founder and CEO of Soylent. Mr. Reinhardt, thank you.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
For the director's cut of that interview that includes the actual tasting, plus a link to what a nutritionist said in the Washington Post about the pros and cons of Soylent, may I refer you to marketplace.org. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers, online digital producer Tobin Lowe. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.